This next one, this is our anthem, right? We've used this one for years now. But you know what, Miss Betty, I'm so glad that she is here this morning. And I know without a doubt there have been many times in her sweet little chair she just raised a hallelujah.
Especially when it caught on fire.
Oh, but she did. She's just kept, and she keeps on. She keeps on keeping on, you know?
Yeah.
What a testimony to what the Lord has done.
Absolutely.
And you know, how old is she? 89 years old, okay? And really, we almost lost her. But you know, I remember Angela telling us as we would talk about her journey, and she just kept saying, I don't know why the Lord still got me here. Like, I'm 89, right? Or she's like, she felt like she was at that. Like, what, God? What do you still want? And Angela just kept speaking life into her and saying, He has you here for a reason. Right?
Absolutely.
And she's living in that. Yes. I know she is a prayer warrior. She's still reading her word. And if you go spend some time with her, man, you will get a blessing. She is such a little warrior for Christ.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how frail you are. It does not matter.
Absolutely.
God is God, and He will use you if you'll let Him. Amen?
Yeah.
It is. We're going to pray, Father. I just thank you for this time that we could come and raise a hallelujah.
Yes.
And for that one out there right now that's saying, I can't do it, I just pray this morning, today they do it. They stand and they fight and they raise a hallelujah. And even if it doesn't feel good and it doesn't make sense, you raise it anyways. Jesus, you say you inhabit the praises of your people. That means you are here today. And I just pray that your spirit keeps moving among us. As we get washed in the word, Lord, I pray that our hearts are just purified for you. And God, anything we need to lay down and just get rid of, you would just show that to us and we would do that. Father, as Pastor comes, I'm so thankful for his heart, Lord, and I pray that the words that come out of his mouth are straight from you. We ask these things in Jesus' most powerful name. Amen.
Well, I don't know where to go from here. I miss that so much. Even if I was deaf, I can just watch Angela jump around up there and I'll be fine. Hey girl, where are you at, Angela? A Methodist to throw you slap out. Oh, it's so good. So good to be back in here. Such a sweet place. I want to tell you, I don't, you can call this a word from the Lord. It doesn't matter what you call it. I really sense a cool new season here, a season of refreshing, a season of change. And don't throw up on that word. That's a good word. We all should be changing, right? So I really sense that. I just see all these new faces and wow, it's just a cool thing. So march forward and just cool to be back. All right, well, I bring you greetings from the church with the strongest roof in the world. Now, I don't know how this works here. Do I just push a button? It's on. Hey, Marvin.
How you doing,
brother? Hey, brother. When'd you get out of prison? So what do I do? How do I go back to the first one? All right, well, that ain't how I wrote it up, but we'll see how many's here, all right? So, I don't know what I'm going to do with these. I just want to, for those of you who don't know, I'm pastoring Church Under a Bridge in Tyler, Texas. And I had a couple of my college friends and one of my seminary friends tell me that I'm going downhill. I've gone from full-time ministry in a steepled church to a barn, and now I'm under a bridge. But I think I'm going just the opposite way, so I wouldn't be anywhere different than where I have. We have pigeons, so usually we have quite a few of those little rodents around. I've been pooped on once or twice. I try to get them to fly right through just at a perfect time of my message, but that never works very good. So we come in every morning, every Sunday morning. We have this 24-foot cargo truck that we put all of our chairs in, our sound system, and everything we need. And every morning, there's two of us right now that drive that thing. So we pick it up in Tyler, and we pull up to Gentry Parkway Bridge, and we are greeted between 75 and 150 folks there. And we just have church. I mean, we have church like we just had, except we do need a music minister. I'm just throwing that out there, all right? Because I'm tired of singing a cappella every morning. But the guy that was doing our music, he was in a pretty bad accident, and he has been unable to come back. So anyhow, I was preaching on a giant. I had no other way to create a giant than get a great big ladder and put a motorcycle helmet on top of him. So anyhow, this was about 25-degree weather here. And there was, you will see no, what do you call those things, flip-flops, and there's no shorts that day. Matter of fact, I had two jackets on. But we had almost 100 people there, 25-degree weather. So this young lady has come to know the Lord at church under the bridge, and this was Easter Sunday. This gentleman here on the left, his name calls himself Missionary Ricky. He shows up every Sunday, and he brings coffee, and he gives coffee to the homeless. And he is faithful. He serves about four different places throughout Tyler every day. You wouldn't believe it. The guy's 67 years old, and gets around like he's 27. And we feed every Sunday morning, and usually it's a sack lunch. But we do have a group that come out and do a hot meal every now and then. This one here was just a couple of weeks ago, and we had 150 or 160 folks here to feed. This is what we usually do, sack lunches. And I'll just tell you, this gentleman right here, his name is Lloyd Porsche. He's from Houma, Louisiana, South Louisiana. He spent some time in jail recently for some felonies, and he got out of jail and had nowhere to go, so he camped out underneath the bridge. He lived under the bridge, and one Sunday morning he'd come three or four times. Of course, we actually came to him. He was there when we got there, and he just had nowhere to go. The guy, he didn't have a job, and he just lived under the bridge. He's 37 years old, couldn't leave town because he's on probation now, and so had no friends in town. His fiance left him, and he's just there. So he just came to the bridge. That's where he got fed. We're a block away from the Salvation Army. Salvation Army takes up three blocks there in North Tyler. And so we're very local to Salvation Army, so we get a lot of homeless folks that come down there from Salvation Army. But Lloyd came, and one Sunday morning, God got a hold of him, and he came down the aisle and said, "Man, I got to get saved." And so Lloyd got saved, and we baptized that brother. And I mean, he got saved where the snot was coming out. I mean, it's funny because this guy was raised Catholic. So, and we told him we wanted to baptize him, and he says, "Yeah, I'd love to get baptized." And this was about 40-degree weather here. So he came to church that morning, and we had a cattle trough just like that one over there, except it's plastic, and we had it filled up with water. And he walked over, and he said to me, "Man, that's a whole lot of water for sprinkling." And I thought, "Man, this is fixing to go bad in a hurry." He kind of read between the lines, and he said, "Are you going to put me underwater?" I said, "Well, I kind of hoping I would today." I said, "We got a bunch of towels, and we'll build a fire for you and all that." And all of a sudden, you thought he was going to get cold feet, but he says, "Man, this is the only set of clothes I have." And of course, we had another shirt, but it was the only set of clothes he had. And so we baptized him from the waist up. We leaned him over. I don't know if I got a picture of that. No, this is Jerry Sue chasing away the pigeons. But let me tell you something. This church helped this guy. I want to tell you how you did it. You guys sent a donation to me. I met Mark out on 271, and we had some lunch and a good fellowship. And then he loaded my car to where I thought I was dragging all the way back. And in that car, somebody gave us a tent. And some clothes, there's lots of shoes, all of that stuff has been put out. Well, we gave that tent to Lloyd. He had told us that he had walked about a block and a half from the bridge. There's a plant there called Tyler Steel. And Lloyd is a welder by vocation and evidently a good welder. And so we do business, Brent does business over there with U.S. Steel. So he walked over there and they gave him a shot. They gave him a job. And so I'll be honest with you. You know, when you're ministering to the homeless folks, you got homeless folks in four different categories to me. You got homeless folks who are homeless because they have severe mental health issues, and our system just can't do much for them. And we got quite a few folks that are under that bridge, and they are schizophrenics. They are they're not taking psychotropic medications, and they're just homeless. You got homeless people there because they're drug addicts. And the little income that they do, they spend on drugs. And it's easier, they would rather have the next fix than they would pay in rent. Okay? Then you got people there that they are homeless by choice and they're making it work for them. That's just the reality of it. A lot of the newer generations, they've figured out a way to make this thing work and it's working for them. And then you got those folks that they're trying. But they just can't make it happen. And Lloyd was one of them, living under that bridge for probably a month with nothing over his head except we pass out moving blankets. Moving blankets make very good blankets for the homeless because they're durable, they shed water, they're thick, and they're warm. And so that's something to remember next winter. So you gave him a tent. And you would think that I gave him the keys to a brand new house. He had found a little ramshackle tent that he had had. It sit about that tall, and he had to curl up in it. And the tent that y'all gave him, Mark, it was a mansion. I don't know what. And it doesn't look like it had ever been used. I'm just saying. But I drive, ever since I've been going to that church, that bridge is between my office and the courthouse, and I'm at the courthouse four or five times a week, and I don't go anywhere without going underneath that bridge just to see how things are going. And he moved into that tent. He was there for two or three weeks, and he was able to save up enough money. His goals, he was very clear about his goals. He says he wanted to get him a place to stay, and he wanted to get him a car so he can drive to get a better job, because he is a dang good welder, is what I understand. And so, anyhow, he saved enough money in the first 3 weeks that he was able to get a home. We've been to that home. I think the tent may be better, but but he loves this place, and it's clean. It's falling apart, but it's clean, and he's there, and he's paying his rent. And just this last week, me and Ann go pick him up for church every Sunday because he's not far from the bridge. And I text him. I says, "Well, we'll be by there by 9. He says, "That's okay. I'm bringing my car." And so he Sunday morning, he took us over. He did. He took that tent and he paid it forward. He had some folks that were close to his heart that didn't have a place to go. And so and now he's actually got another homeless guy staying with him that he's invited to stay. Doesn't have any money, so he doesn't have to pay. But anyhow, it's just been a tremendous, tremendous experience. And I'm not going to beat this all to death. We used to have porta potty underneath there. Our church paid for one of those, and one of them was donated. This is just the line that we get after church for food and stuff. This gentleman in the middle, his name is Ron Wells. I met Ron about 40 years ago, and Ron was one of the men when I was living in Tyler that discipled me. And he's 80 probably something years old, and we hooked up again. He showed up under the bridge when we were feeding during Thanksgiving, and that was a pretty cool reunion to see Ron again. But about a month or two ago, something kind of happened to us. We knew things were getting kind of tough. We heard some rumors rumbling about the city of Tyler. And I want to tell you, I work in law enforcement, so I get this. But where that bridge is, there's a neighborhood around there. And so there's been a lot of complaints because of drug deals. Someone was killed under that bridge two or three years ago. Fights. It's been very accustomed to us to come to church and two or three cop cars be there and a fire truck and an ambulance. We got there one Sunday morning, and we had a lady that was going to, her daughter, they were going to sing for us. We didn't have a music person, and so they came to sing for us. And we witnessed one homeless guy pick up a stick and chase another homeless guy with a brick across the street. And she freaked out. She came over and said, "Pastor, can I go behind the cargo truck and smoke a cigarette?" I said, "Sorry, sis, you go smoke you a cigarette." And we ain't seen her back since. She hadn't come back. But it's a box of chocolates, I'll tell you. But there is a lot of stuff that goes on underneath there. And so the city had to do something. We totally got that. We understood that. Neighborhood community that had small children, they wanted those children to be out and go out and play without the fear of anything. And I totally get that. I understand it. And so we were kind of caught between conflicting things. The city needed the town to be pretty and safe, and we wanted to be able to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the homeless aren't going to go away. There's over 600 homeless in Tyler, Texas, and they're not going to go away. And banning them from the bridge is not going to cause them to go away. They'll just move somewhere else. And so we as a team came together. The city of Tyler told us that they were going to ban us. And you'll notice up here they put a no trespassing sign, so they criminally trespassed everybody off of the property. They cleaned the property up. They unhooked our water meter. They hauled off our porta potties. And we're going to pull our electrical meter that we had set up by permission about 7 or 8 years ago. And so we were in tough spaces, tough times. I was conflicted in my heart because I knew what the city wanted, and I totally got it. But I knew that the gospel of Jesus had to go forward. And so I met with our team, and I just told them they're brokenhearted. They've been doing this a lot longer than Ross has under the bridge. And I just, you know, there's a new season for everything, right? I think this church is under a new season. I'm surely with me and Ann, we're under a new season. And I tried to tell them the reality that even church under a bridge may be going through a new season. And it may not be that we're church under a bridge anymore, but we may be church in a lot, or we may be church in an alley. Because they're going to go somewhere, and our calling is to them. And so if they won't come to us, we'll go to them. And so we had just really fell on our face and started praying. And the city made it very clear they were going to put up a 14-foot fence around the bridge, and they were going to criminally trespass everybody off of there. There's about four or five, six ministries that come during the week there, not just us. And some of those ministries are just different after different things. But in the middle of all that praying, we got an email from Chief David Long. He is the assistant chief for Tyler PD. And he reached out to us and said he wanted to meet with us. And so about 3 weeks ago, our church and another ministry, Hunger for Love, who comes on Saturdays, and they do a lot of different resource ministries, wonderful ministry. We sat down at the table with him, and God filled this man with grace. He's a believer, he knows the Lord, and he understood the predicament. He understood that we've been doing this for 13, 14 years, and he understood that the city needed to be safe and clean. And so he says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to criminally trespass everybody out from underneath the bridge. We're going to put up no parking signs. You're not going to have your porta potties, but we're going to let you keep your electric pole. We're going to let you keep your water meter, and we're going to give you a window on Saturday mornings to freely go on that property and minister, and we're going to give you a window on Sunday mornings to freely go on that property and minister. And so right now we have the great opportunity just to continue our ministry, and it's caused some issues at first, because a lot of the ministries that had been doing it were kind of taken back from it, but we've coupled with them. We're walking in unison with them. Now we're probably going to be able to feed a hot meal 3 out of the 4 weeks a month. And so that's actually a good thing for us. So Church Under the Bridge, we're still going. We were thinking that when you trespass all of them underneath the bridge, that our numbers were probably going to go to that 30 or 40. And last week we had 150-something. And so they're still coming. And so continue to pray for us. It's just been a cool ride, and it is definitely something like I've never experienced. But I believe, you know, we were talking this morning in class about being where God wants us to be, doing what God wants us to do, and I wouldn't be anywhere else. We feel that God's put us there. We get in the truck sometimes to leave with our eyes wide open because of some of the things we've seen. And I'll tell you, it takes a great amount of love to understand all the dynamics that go on underneath that bridge. And really, that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I kind of want to spend a little bit of time telling you about Church Under the Bridge. And then I want to talk to you. We've been doing some principles this morning, and all I'm going to do this morning is add to those principles. Because I believe, I know in my own heart, what I'm going to talk about now is what causes me to do what we do under the bridge, and hopefully it causes you to do what you do in life. And so I want to talk to you this morning about the criticalness of caring. Okay? So before I do that, I'm going to do a little test with you. I'm going to pull up some flashcards. When you see this flashcard, I want you to say the first thing that comes to your mind, okay? Now, I'm worried doing that in this church, but but some of you may need just to be quiet. But you just tell me first thing that comes to your mind. Y'all pretty good. I didn't think you'd get it. I don't think you'll get this one. Yeah, some of y'all old. If you don't get this, I'm going to ask you to leave. I'll do it this way. I know you think of me when you see this one. Who said BMW? Golly! That's a Mercedes. You know, it's funny. It's funny about those cards there because none of those cards had any words on them. I mean, there wasn't a narrative with them or anything. They were just simple pictures, okay? But until we got to the last one there, very clearly, I heard everybody, and you nailed them right on the dot. I mean, you knew what MasterCard was, Pepsi was, and you knew the Nike swoosh. You knew all those things because those are symbols. Those things were built for a purpose. They were instituted by corporations for the very purpose of building an icon, building a reputation, building something so that all you want someone to do is to see something. And they'll know exactly what that is. And MasterCard, for years, have built an icon through a symbol that says absolutely nothing, but when you see it, you know what you got, right? Well, Jesus wanted to do the very same thing to his followers. Jesus wanted us to have a sign. He wanted us to have something that when people saw us, they would know exactly what we were about. They would know exactly who we were with. And so he gets to that point in his life where he is talking to his disciples. He's beginning to tell them I'm going to chase a rabbit. That guy right there, his name is Terry Loving. I played junior high football with him and junior high baseball. My daddy coached him. I haven't seen Terry since the eighth grade. I preached there a couple of times. And we went back behind the trailer to pray before my message. And this guy walked in front of me, and I thought, man, just, I don't know, that guy just, something about him. So, and I'd already been there three or four times, and I saw this guy. After church, he came up to me, and he looked at me. He said, you know, this morning was the first time they told me your name. He said, do you know who I am? And I said, man, don't say one word. Just give me a moment. And I realized who he was. Terry grew up, Terry's kind of like, who was at the, Terry's kind of like Tom. You know, he was 18 years old in the eighth grade. You said it this morning. I'm just going by what you said. In the eighth grade, Terry was driving a car to Hogg Junior High. And he steeped into drugs and a lot of horrible, horrible things. We left Tyler in 1979, never saw him again. He's had four stints in jail, one stint in prison, and all of it drug-related. And somewhere about 3 years ago, Terry got out, 60 years old, and said, you know, I can't keep living the way I'm living. He grew up in church, but just went the other way. And he got out of jail, and he was just like Lloyd Porsche. He had nowhere to go. His mom and dad had both passed away. His kinfolks were off. And so he went to the bridge. And he found hope in Jesus. And now he works for John Soul's Foods. He's got him a nice apartment in Tyler. He's got him a truck. And on September the 4th, I'm going to take him to watch the Yankees play the Rangers. And he's going to wear a Yankee jersey. He don't know that yet. He's a Rangers fan, but I got Phil to wear one almost. But so anyhow, I just thought I wanted to share that with you. I didn't. This gentleman, I'm going to get past these pictures. We'll stop. So Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's telling them that it's time for the Son of Man to be glorified. He's beginning to tell them that he's about to leave, that he's about to go. And so he says these words to him. He says, a new commandment that I, it's in John 13. You can write that, John 13, 34. He says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you love one another. And by this, here's the sign, by this, all men will know that you're my disciples, is that you have love for one another. He said, here's the sign. Now, what Jesus wanted was for that to be a statement that literally builds the reputation of the body of Christ. Jesus wanted that 2,000 years later, the size of your building doesn't matter. The color of your congregation doesn't matter. What they wear doesn't matter. Where they worship doesn't matter. How much money the church has in the bank doesn't matter. What mattered was is that when people came in contact with you, they knew your sign because they knew your love. And I'm telling you, folks, we're at a critical juncture in this history. We're at a critical juncture, not just with the body of Christ, but with this world. And if there is ever a time that the people of this world and the church needs to see our sign, it's right now. And I want to tell you something. You know, how many of you know that God's a transcendent being? In other words, He's one of a kind. There's none like Him. How many of you, if you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Now, I believe that God's one of a kind. I believe that He's transcendent. There'll never be another like Him. He is what He is. He is Yahweh. He is the great I Am. He is Jehovah. I believe that there is no power like God's power. That He is omnipotent. I believe that the power that God possesses, nobody can ever match. I believe that His presence is transcendent. I believe that no one can match the presence of God. Nobody can can be all the places God is at the same time in the way that He is. David says, I can't even escape His presence. If I go up here, if I go down there, you're there. I can't. Who can run from you? I believe that God's knowledge is transcendent. I don't believe that God has to learn anything. God knows. I don't think God needs to open a book and say, I need to understand what this Einstein guy was talking about. No, God created Einstein in the mind that he had. That's the kind of knowledge that God has. It is a transcendent knowledge because God is transcendent in his power, in his presence, and in his knowledge. So, if we believe that, then we would also have to believe that God's character is transcendent. If He is transcendent, then His character is. In other words, God's anger is not like Mark's anger. God's anger is not like Ross's anger. When we think, we have all these questions about the anger of God, and how, you know, if God's so much loving, why does He get mad? What's this about the wrath of God? Well, the reason we don't understand it is because it's a transcendent type of wrath. It's built around His holiness. And so when we understand God's transcendence and how set apart He is and how holy He is, we can better understand His wrath. Because God's wrath, you're not going to believe this, God's wrath is built around God's love. So if his character is transcendent and His wrath is transcendent, guess what? His love has to be transcendent. In other words, there is no other love like God's love. We've heard it preached for years and years, but there is no other love. A matter of fact, God's love is so transcendent, it's so unique, it's so one of a kind, it's so set off by itself that the Bible, the writers of the Scriptures, had to give God's love its own name. Did you know that? I mean, there's a lot of words for love in the Bible. There's a lot of words. There's phileo and storhas and eros. I don't know how many there is. Five or six different names. But when it came to the character of God and His love, they says, well, He's got a one-of-a-kind love. He's a transcendent God. His character is like none other. So I just can't say L-O-V-E. Even though that's what you read in your Scriptures, you got to understand when you read in your Scriptures L-O-V-E and it's related to God, it can only be one kind of love. And that's agape love. And agape love can only be from God. Now, there's some good news and bad news here I'm fixing to give you. The bad news is this. It is impossible for you to express agape love because only God can. Now, let me finish before you throw something at me. It is, and listen, we got to get this. This is the criticalness of caring. If our world ever needs for people to be tolerant and non-judgmental and forgiving and empathetic, all these words that we heard this morning, powerful words about mending and caring and loving and restoring and forgiving, it's this time. But it is impossible for you to express God's love. Only He can do it. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. If you're born again, blood bought, and spirit filled, you can do it. And I misquoted that. I didn't say that right. Let me back up and re-say that again. It's impossible for you to express agape love. Only God can. Bad news. Good news. If you're blood bought, spirit filled, and born again, it's still the same problem. He can still only do it, but He's got to do it through you. And the way that God expresses His love, it's not just in you, it is through you. And we talked this morning about the principle of yielding and breaking and surrendering. Listen, you will never be able to express agape love to a world that so desperately needs agape love if you have not completely yielded your life to the power of the Holy Spirit living through you. That's why when Jesus says you are the light of the world, And he says, you're the salt of the earth. And when he said, let your light so shine, that word let literally means to allow something to process through. It's me letting Marvin stand up. It's me letting my child through a door. That's the very thing Master was talking about. When he said, let your light shine, he was talking about the light of God that you allow to come through your life so they won't see you. They'll only see Jesus. And that's the love of God that this world needs. And when I showed up at church under the bridge, it didn't take me but a couple of weeks to realize, you know, I've got to chunk out some of my ideologies. I've got to chunk out some of my world thinking processes. I've got to chunk out some of these things that I think I'm going to tolerate and not tolerate. Because there is every walk of life under that bridge. And I've had people come up to me and say things to me. I'm like, man, my hair stand up on the top. I'm like, you can't say that here. But you know what? They're coming from a world I didn't come from. They're living a life I don't live. But you know, they showed up there, maybe for a sandwich, maybe for a hot meal, but they're willing to sit in a chair in 30-degree weather and listen to the gospel of Jesus just so they can get what they want. But you know what? There's so many that have come to Christ. When we have prayer time on Sunday mornings, hands fly up everywhere. We have an altar call every Sunday morning. And someone, every Sunday morning, if it's not one, it's 10, always comes down to say, I need prayer. Because they're in difficult times. And if there's anything that you can apply to difficult times, it's the love of God. When nothing else works, it's the love of God. Matter of fact, on any given moment, half of that people up there ain't got a penny to their name. But to give them a dollar sometimes is worse than giving them the love of Jesus. Because it's the love of God that transforms a life and turns that dollar into a new walk, a new life, a new start. And folks, it ain't just church under a bridge that needs it. It's peace fellowship that needs it. Amen? That's why if there's ever a time for a critical, and I really believe that this church is walking into a new season. I just see in the faces, I just believe that God's really going to continue to blow the map off of this place. And I'm telling you, the way it's going to happen is not manifesting how much you know, how many scriptures you have, how many times you've been to church in a row, how much money you got, what kind of job you have, and all these other things. It's going to be your ability and your willingness to surrender your life to the power of the Holy Spirit that people look at you, they're going to walk out of there and say, now that was love. That wasn't complaining, that wasn't moaning, that wasn't griping, that wasn't I want this or I want that. That was the love of God, totally non-judgmental, totally tolerant. And folks, because you're going to have, many of you are already here, but you're going to have some weird people coming through these doors, amen? I ain't going to say who's weird here. I know a bunch of you weird people, but because I be weird with you. But you know what? Weird's good, amen? Is it okay to have people with a shattered background? Amen. Is it okay to have people come in that don't have the same theological stance that you have? Amen. Does that change the manifestation of love that you should show to each other? Absolutely not. The worst thing that can happen to the reputation of the church today is to misplace our sign and pick up a different sign. And there are churches who have picked up different signs. I've pastored a few of them. There are churches who picked up the sign of legalism. And nobody can go there and find love. There are churches that have picked up the sign of prosperity. And you don't get love until you give. There are churches that are picking up different signs. And it's not the sign that Jesus wanted. And the only sign that Jesus wants is the sign of love. And if you'll notice in those two verses, he says it three times. Three times he says it. It's like, you thick-headed folks, I need you to hear this. He says, a new commandment I leave you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, I want you to look at that verse. Because I want you to see how hard-headed things are. Just so we don't get a big halo over our head. Let me show you a train wreck. Turn to John 13. I'll be there in about 10 minutes. John 13, John 13, 34. I'll start in 31. He said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I'm with you for a little while longer. You shall seek me as I said to the Jews. Now I say to you also, where I'm going, you cannot go. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you also love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Did he put the stamp on that statement? Yeah, look what Peter does next. Good. It's like talking to my children sometimes, amen? And it's like Ann talking to me sometimes. Well, I will come in and she'll have a long conversation with me and she'll tell me about how her day went and everything else, and then she'll end it and I'll say, what's for supper? Or she'll stop in the middle of it, because she knows me now. She'll stop in the middle of her dissertation about her day and she'll stop and say, what did I just say? Oh, you do it too? And then I got to make up something that I don't even try to make it up. The lie is better. It's better to be honest and say, and I got to where I'm saying, I said, baby, I'm just going to be honest with you. I hear nothing you said. Now she's gracious now. She either restarts it and says, well, when you're ready to focus, let me know. Now y'all laughing at me. But I know some of you. And that's exactly, I think, what happened to John 13. I think Jesus stops here and he says, I'm leaving. I'm going to be with you just a little bit longer. But I got to give you a new commandment. That should have been a red flag. I'm going to give you a new commandment. Something brand new here. That you love one another like I loved you. You should also love one another. By this, all men know you're my disciples. If you have love for one another, bang, 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 bang. Agape, 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 agape. And Peter says, where are you going now? And aren't we the same way? Aren't we the same way? This book here is absolutely full. Absolutely full of agape love. From the front to the back, from Genesis to Revelation, this is nothing but a love letter from God to you. It's His letter to you. And even though there's some ugly moments in it, and Adam started it, it begins with love and it ends with love. And how can we read this and pick up any other sign? What sign are you holding this morning? What's your sign? If you're not a Christian this morning and you can't firmly say, I've given my life to Jesus, I'm a born-again, blood-bought, spirit-filled believer. If you can't say that this morning, please come down this morning. After church, during a song, I don't care. Come down this morning and settle this thing. Just settle it. Get it over with. Because you're going to experience a love that will actually knock your socks off. You're going to experience a transformation of God wanting to do something in your life that you will literally see the whole world in a different manner. You may be here this morning and you think, well, I've been in a lot of churches that just don't express love. And I've been hurt by churches. I bounced around. I'm just tired of seeing all the dissension in churches. Well, I'm going to tell you, I wished I could make that better for you. I've never pastored a church and never been in a church where I haven't seen those types of things. But I want to tell you, you can start it today. You can say today, even as a believer, you might have been going here the whole time, 15, 16, 17 years? And you can say, today I'm going to pick up my sign. And if anybody sees me from now on, they're not going to see nothing but agape. They're not going to see nothing but Jesus coming to me and through me. And I'll tell you what, this church starts expressing that, and you're going to have to build a bigger barn. You're going to have to buy smaller chairs. Because you know what this world's looking for? They're looking for love. They're looking for love. And they're looking for something unique. They're looking for something they can stand on. They're looking for something they can count on. And the only love you can count on is Jesus' love. The only love that you can bank on is Jesus' love. And the only way they're going to see it is Him through you. And if there's ever a time to express it, it's now. I'm going to close with this scripture here. Just to let you know how critical it is today to care. Jesus is talking to His disciples and He's giving them some stories and some parables. And in Matthew 25, He talks about the judgment. The judgment of God. Now, that should wake you up a little bit, right? How many of you are looking forward to that? Well, if you're covered in the blood, you're good. But listen, who would ever want to stand before God on our own stuff? Right? Because He's only going to accept righteousness. And apart from Christ, I'm about as unrighteous as I get. But in Christ, I have His righteousness which covers me. But He's telling these parables. And then He gets to this. This is probably one of the passages of scriptures that always runs a chill down my bone when I read it. And He's telling this story, and He starts it this way in Matthew 25. He says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will be seated. And all the nations will be gathered to Him. And He'll begin to separate those nations one from another. The sheep He'll put on His right, and the goats He'll put on His left. And then He will say to those on His right, come, blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you since the foundation of the world. That's pretty good news, right? And if you're one of those, you're going to wonder, how did this just happen? But He tells them. He says, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer Him, and they're going to say, Lord, I don't understand this. When you're the Lord, when did we see you hungry and give you something to eat? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? Lord, when did we see you as a stranger and invite you in? When did we see you naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick and in prison and we came to you? And then Jesus will answer them and He'll say, inasmuch as you did it not, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these My brothers, you did it to Me. That's a powerful statement, folks. You better remember the next time you see folks that are hurting. You better remember the next time you see somebody sitting on the side of the road, you see somebody naked, stranger, you see somebody sick, or you see somebody in prison, and you want to say, well, I wonder what they did to do that, because our laws are good, and if they would, they're just getting what they deserve. You better be careful when you see things like that. It can be easy to take our Western view and be complacent with it and write off every wrong thing somebody did. Well, I know why you're hungry, because you spent your money on drugs. But that's not what Jesus said. He says, if you did it to them, then you did it to Me. Now that changes my thinking. Then He says, He turned to the ones on His left, and He says, depart from Me, you cursed ones, and to the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now that'll wake you up a little bit, right? He said, because I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me in. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you didn't come to me. And then they're going to say the same thing. But wait a minute, we didn't know. What do you mean? When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and we didn't come to you? You know why they didn't see Him? because they were living a life apart from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because I want to tell you something. The love of God, when you express the love of God, it ought to be natural to you. You shouldn't have to work up the love of Jesus. It ought to be an automatic, intrinsic expression of who you are. That's how I always know that I'm operating under that agape love and not Ross love, because Ross love is conditional. Agape love is unconditional. Ross's love has rose-colored glasses. God's love has God goggles. And I only see it His way. And I can put away all the judgments and all the expectations and all the things that I think about my world and this worldview, and I replace it with agape unconditional love. And Jesus said to them, "And as much as you didn't do it to them, you didn't do it to me. Depart from me." And they went into they went to damnation and condemnation, and the righteous went to eternal life. Now here's what I want to say about this before we pray. That's a crazy way to stand before God, judging us over how much we care. But didn't He already tell us what our sign was? And that's what this world needs. So what is your sign? What's your sign? What drives your Christian life? If it's not love, if love is not your sign, you need to put your sign down and pick that one up. Because you're not going to stand before God and say, "Okay, now wait a minute. I know I didn't do any of them things. But listen to this, Jesus. In 17 years, I didn't miss one church service." They don't get it. Every time I had a chance, God, and I felt like they were going to use it wisely, I gave some money. That's not going to get it. I was a preacher, Jesus. That's not going to get it. I memorized 112 verses in the Bible. That's not going to get it. I memorized all 66. That's not going to get it. I knew Tom Tenneman. That's surely not going to get it. I got Billy Graham's autograph. That's not going to get it. You know what's going to get it? The love of Jesus expressed through your life. Because when He comes through, it's no longer about you, Skippy. It's only about Him. Does this world need it? I agree. I agree so much. Thank you guys for being here this morning. Let me tell you something. If you don't know Christ, please don't leave this morning. Please don't leave. He is the only way. There is no way but Christ. There is no love like His love. If you don't know Jesus, just however you want to come this morning, afterwards, or if we're playing a song and I stand up and invite you to come, however you want to come, come. If you're holding any sign as a believer, but accept the sign of love, would you chunk that thing away? And say, "Lord, I yield to You so that the love of Jesus would come forth." I don't know who that is. I don't know your heart. I only know mine. And I'll tell you what, probably once every other week, Ross has got to say that. Because I got this crazy idea of how I think this world ought to be. And sometimes it runs in conflict with the love of God. And I've got to say, "Lord, You got to set me right again, because I got a wrong sign in my hand." And so I put down the sign of judgment and condemnation. And I pick back up the sign of love. What's your sign today? Pray with me. Father, I trust this morning that Your anointing and Your presence is here. I trust this morning, Father, if there's anyone in this room that's never been born again, they've never made the decision to be a Christian, to be a believer, to be a follower of Jesus, I pray that April the 7th is that day. I pray for courage. I pray for the drawing of your Spirit. That whoever that is would stand and just say, I need to know Christ. And I need to know him today. Father, for those of us who are your children, we are your followers, I pray that if we've risen any other sign in our lives except for the love of Jesus, I pray it would be put down. And people would begin to recognize us, not by how smart we are, but how much we love. That's my prayer for this church. And we know that we live in a world that never in the history of this planet has needed to see transcendent, one-of-a-kind, unconditional Jesus love than this world needs to see today. If you're here this morning and you want to know Christ, I'm just going to invite you to just make a bold step. And just walk the aisle. Just go old school here. Just to step out and say, you know, I've never been a follower of Jesus, and today I want to follow Christ the rest of my life. I want to experience the love of Jesus so I can express the love of Jesus. Would you be willing to do that this morning? You're here and you're a believer and you've got the cobwebs of Christianity in your head and you're trying to show everybody everything but the love of Jesus. Would you just tell the Lord this morning, today it stops. The cycle of religion, the cycle of all these other things that whether it's a spirit of complaining, whether it's a spirit of resentment, a spirit of condemnation, a spirit of judgment, a spirit of intolerance. Just say, Lord, deliver me from those things that don't look like you and let me express the love of God the rest of my days. I pray that's your prayer. Close and say amen. I want to invite you to do this. The band's going to sing a song or so, and after church this morning, I'm not going to go anywhere. Tom's not going to go anywhere. Mark, Greg, we're going to be here right down front. We'll do like we do at the bridge. If you feel like God did something in your heart or said something to you this morning and you need to be obedient to whatever that was and you need to answer that call, whether saved or lost, we're going to invite you to do that. We're here down here to talk and to pray. You don't even have to say a word. All you just say, would you pray for me? And we'll do that. Whatever that need is, don't leave. Don't leave without acting on it. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. And we thank you for the love that is like none other. In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
That's going to conclude this morning. But again, as Pastor said, just please don't leave. If you need to speak with somebody today, please don't leave without talking to someone. There's so many brothers and sisters here that want to encourage you. They want to pray with you, and there would be nothing greater than that. So we're going to do one more song as y'all mingle and leave, but we just love you. Jesus, we just thank you for this day. And God, I pray that we live victorious lives because we know that you overcame.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Your grace.
The same old dream that I'm drowning in a sea. Waves are rising all around, float as far as I can see. And all of a sudden, wrapped up in light, I hear the heavens cry. My son, build yourself an ark. Let me heal your broken heart. So when the flood waters rise and the sun goes dark, you'll be safe.
She'd been talking to Jesus.